That's a little bit like offering an opportunity for people to share at the funeral, and everybody doesn't jump at once. But we're not at a funeral. We're in wedding preparation, right? Right? We're looking forward to every day with Jesus. Aren't we? That's probably not reasonable of me to ask questions. If the Lord has answered our prayers when we sang and the Holy Spirit has flowed into us, and you know, we might just be enjoying His presence. So that's what I'm going to go with. That we are just enjoying His presence. Because He is good. Always good. I want to talk about that getting there. Getting there to that place of total surrender to the Lord. And what is total surrender? I'm not positive. I think it's a continuing process. We know that only Jesus was totally surrendered, but He came to talk to us about being totally surrendered. You know, back in the Old Testament, Joshua once said to the people, "You choose this day whom you're going to serve." When God talked to Moses and told him to go back and to get the people out of Egypt, and Moses said, "How am I going to do that?" And God said, "You can do it." He said, "I'm not a good speaker." He said, "Well, go tell them anyway." See, God didn't give up on him. God didn't say, "Okay, Moses, I'll find somebody else." He said, "You're the one I've chosen to go do that." So He said, "When you go, you tell them to let your people go." And Moses said, "Well, he's not going to let me." He said, "Well, I know that." God said, "I'm going to harden his heart, and he's going to make it tough, but he'll find out that he should have listened to me in the first place." And Moses said, "How am I going to do this?" He said, "Well, what's that in your hand?" He said, "It's a shepherd's staff." He said, "Throw it down." Turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. He said, "Now grab it by the tail." He grabbed it by the tail, turned back into his stick. When I read that, it just clarified something, or maybe it opened my eyes to something, but the fact is, it was all God. Moses didn't turn that into a snake or back into a stick. God said, "I'll do it." Vicki said she listened to Kenneth Copeland's word for 2019, and he said, "You know, all we need to do is share Jesus, and it'll happen." He said churches are caught up. He said it's all good, you know, healings and miracles and stuff like that. But he said we need not lose sight of the fact that we just share Jesus, God will confirm His word with signs and wonders. And so He sent Moses, and Moses did what they said. And the people, when they saw that surely God had sent him, what did they do? They bowed down and worshiped God, because obviously Moses was their deliverer. But what did they do when it didn't go the way that they wanted it to go? "Look what you've done to us. You've made it harder for us. You've made it worse for us. Why did you even come?" Where did the bowing down and worshiping God go? Did God change? No, He didn't change at all. But their circumstances did. Folks, circumstances change. Have you ever noticed that? Have you noticed that there are times when you just want to bow down and worship? You just want to praise the Lord? And then there's the times when, where's God in this? That getting there is getting to the place where God is. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's refusing to give up on our diligence. It's being determined to look forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. Heaven, yes, but right now, right here. We often need that right here, right now, right? And getting there is understanding that We are there right now. We just aren't seeing it all the time. But if we know that it's there, then that will be what we are looking for. Right? When you know, I'm always talking to you about looking for something, but you know, when you're looking for something and you know that that something should be there, you look for it. This morning, I was getting ready to come over here. I couldn't find my bag that had my Bible and that had the recorder, and I knew where I put it, I thought. But then I began to wonder, what could have I done with it? I looked in the cellar in case Michael played a trick on me. He's done that before, not necessarily with that bag, but every now and then he just gets this urge to play a trick on me. I looked in his room. He was sound asleep, but I looked just to see. Didn't find it. I looked in all the places that I put it, all the places that I said it. I was going to run over here. I thought, well, we didn't get together on Wednesday. Did I walk over there with my bag and then leave it there? And I decided to text Vicki. And Vicki remembered exactly where she put it. And so I found it. You see, I needed it. I was willing to go without it, but I didn't want to go without it. I'm not willing to go without God. But I fear that I sometimes do. Now, I don't fear it. I know it. I know that my first thought when I hear the name Nancy Pelosi is not to pray. Not intentionally not to pray. It's just that my first thought isn't to pray. You know? So Vicki's telling me about that word from Kenneth Copeland. And Kenneth Copeland said, we need to pray for Nancy Pelosi. I know that. I have. But I don't think I've done it quite like I should. I think, oh God, you're so patient. I'm glad he's patient. But, you know, don't you have those places where you wish he wasn't so patient? We can be honest here. There's still places where we have an opportunity to grow. And if we can look at those difficult places as an opportunity to grow, we'll grow through them. We all know the story of the man coming to Jesus, and he said, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? And Jesus said, keep all the commandments. And those commandments that he listed are really pretty easy. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. You know, I mean, there weren't any real difficult ones in what Jesus said. There wasn't something about, like, don't think bad things. There wasn't those things where he was meddling. He just told him, you know, the obvious things to do, and a man was relieved. I did all that. He was feeling good. And then Jesus said, but you lack one thing. Sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor, then come and follow me. And the Bible says the man just turned away because he had many possessions. Jesus hit him at the thing he was holding. We all have things that we're holding. We have things that we hope God doesn't ask us for. For a period of time, I quit carrying very much cash with me because on frequent occasions, I had to give away what I had. And so I thought, well, that's easy to take care of. I'm not going to have much in my billfold, so it won't hurt to give it away. I got over that. I decided that I could trust God to decide, and if he decided that he knew and it was good. So I didn't have to hold that back. You see, there's just things that if someone starts to talk about these sort of things of like giving something up, and it happens to be something that we're thinking about giving up, we sort of kind of are like that guy. We sort of turn away. We maybe change the subject. We may try to interject. You know, it's like if God told me, give all the money you have in your wallet to this person, and you say, but Lord, I did that last week. You know, God's pretty easy going. He might say, fine. But there's something about if God says, fine. It's like when we say something to somebody and they say, fine. There's a lot that can be read into fine. Do it your way. And those times, if the Spirit of God stirs us up, we'll have us instantly going, wait. I'm sorry, Lord. Because we'll recognize it, not as a problem, but as an opportunity. We have extreme examples of that when God told, Abraham to take his son, his only son, through whom the stars were going to be too few to number the people, and told him, sacrifice your son. And how Abraham did that, I don't know. But my take on it is that Abraham just knew that God would come through. That even as he said, I'm going to go up, I said, we're going to go up and we'll be back down soon. And when his son said, Father, where is the lamb or the ram or the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. I sort of think that maybe as he was tying up his son, he was saying, now don't worry, son, the Lord will come through. Otherwise, I don't know how a 116-year-old man or whatever is going to strap a kid to the altar unless the kid has confidence that dad knows what he's talking about. I don't even, I know that they lived longer and they lived stronger, but I'm having a hard time. I kind of picture Isaac as, being a man's man, and I'm not even sure how Abraham would have picked him up and put him on the altar, and he certainly wouldn't have got him picked up and put on there if there was any struggle in him. But we have this picture of the wood of Isaac laying on top of the wood and Abraham pulling out his knife. Now, we know all about this story. We've heard this story. We've heard it multitudes of times. But they talk about in the countries where there nobody's been there with the word, and they show the movie of Jesus, and the people are screaming and shrieking at that movie. No, don't do it. How can they do this? What are they doing? That would be what they would be doing with this. If you've got a kid laid on an altar and you've got a father with his knife above his head, pausing for suspense, giving God a moment to gather himself. But God knew the moment he was ready. And God said, hold your hand, Abraham. Now I know you withhold nothing from me. And in the bush, the truth appeared. A ram caught. Whew, that was close. You got to think that Abraham and Isaac had a conversation going down the mountain. Isaac is still shaking. Abraham's just, how could he do that to me? But at the same time, they had an agreement that nobody could have ever argue against. God did provide. Last week when we talked about the revelation, talked about the reflection of our perception. How we perceive things is how we act. Interestingly enough, I discovered that there was another message from way back with the same title, which creates a problem online to a certain extent, except for it was so far back that they weren't getting put up online. So when I clicked on the one that didn't show up online, this other one came up. From clear back when we had the murder of our city auditor by her husband. I know that because we mentioned that it had been handled. So it was that long ago. And in that message of that title, it just talked about what are we reflecting. The Abraham stood there, went up the mountain, reflecting that God would help. We're getting there. We maybe aren't all the way there. We maybe don't altogether get it. We maybe have lapses. We maybe have just absolute failures. We may have something that somewhere along the line, we were just like the man who Jesus said to do that one thing to, and he just walked away. If we have something where we've just walked away from something that we're pretty sure that God told us, this is a good time for you to just listen for the Holy Spirit. Mark it down, take care of it. Because if you couldn't just walk through it previously, you probably are further along with the Lord to realize that it's not really that big of a problem. Or to realize that it's worth it to deal with it. See, we're getting there. And where is there? Well, there are different places that we arrive. Every circumstance, every blessing and every opposition is a there. I've been there, you know. Somebody says something and you've been there. Now, if you've been there, you have to decide, are you supposed to one-up them with your there? Or is that an opportunity for you to say, you know, I've been there. And this is how I handled it. Last night we watched the episode where Jack the Mountie was dead. Got killed. Vicki told me about that. And I just had to erase it from my mind. She said, boy, when they killed off Jack, I quit watching that show. I didn't see him get killed yet. Well, we don't watch the new shows. We don't have that channel. We wait for them to be new, old, but it doesn't make any difference. It didn't bother me. I watched it. What's the difference? I kept thinking somewhere something was going to happen to him, you know. But afterwards, when they had the next show and they showed how everybody was handling it, the people who had to handle other things all sat down and they were talking to Elizabeth. And one of the gals said, when her husband got killed in the mine, they'd only had a little bitty short time together, and she felt cheated. And that sort of broke Elizabeth loose, who said, yeah, that's how I feel, cheated. But then one of the other gals said, you know, I thought about just leaving here, just getting far away from everything. But this young school teacher came to town and made me think that there was hope. See, when our hope is in Christ, we can share hope. We can take that place maybe that we ran into and we handled it, and we can help somebody else handle it. And when we think of something where maybe we didn't handle it, we can stir ourselves up with our own victory to believe that there is still victory. After Jesus told that man, well, you got to sell everything and give to God and then you'll be okay, the disciples must have kind of had a dumbfounded look on their faces, because Jesus went right into teaching. He said, look, I got to tell you something. It is very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say it's impossible. He said just difficult. Just like it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. What do those two have to do with another one? There's a lot of impossible looking things. But Jesus ended it with a solution. Yeah, humanly speaking, seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So being people who have set our hearts to seek the Lord, and being people who have set our hope and our confidence in the Lord, then no matter what comes up, we know it's possible with God. God will come through. We don't have to know how He's going to come through. We just have to hold on to the fact. He's going to come through. He's going to come through. Don't worry, son. God will provide the sacrifice. Father, did you notice I'm tied up laying on the fire, on the sticks? Did you notice that? I know, but God will come through. Father, what are you taking out your knife for? Well, I'm just waiting for God to come through. Father, can we wait just a little bit longer? But all God was waiting for was the flex of His arm. You know, sometimes, you know, God's not mean. God's not dramatic. God's not trying to teach us any lessons, but He's offering us opportunities to learn lessons. That's a funny thing to look at, isn't it? We have the opportunity to learn, but it's not like He's trying to teach us. It's like He's offering us opportunities. Just an opportunity. And so if we can look at our life as one big opportunity to get closer to God, then no matter what comes at us, this must be another opportunity. I have seen people go to such extents to figure out how God does things that they talk themselves out of it being God. I know a guy that spends a lot of time asking absolutely stupid questions. They are just stupid, and I've even told him on a few occasions, that's just stupid. You know you're only asking those questions because you don't want to commit everything to God. That's all it is. He's asking questions that nobody can answer, and he's basically made up in his mind, until somebody answers it, I'll just stand back here and I believe God, I believe in God, I just need to know. One great place to get, one great there to get to is one where I don't have to know. I know the one who does. I know the one who does. Years ago, I shared that I had a dream. And I've shared from time to time that God reminds me of the dream. And sometimes as He reminds me of the dream, it's like He's telling me another part that was in the dream that I don't remember being in the dream. But it's all a part of the dream. You see, live in the dream. And recently, I realized that very much of my life before Christ, early in Christ, right up until this time, were times when I was there. I was at a there. I was at a spot that was part of the kingdom of God. I was at a spot to move on or not move on. So when an angel was in my room when I was a little kid, I was there. I just didn't know I was there, at a there. But how encouraging to know that I was at a there when I figured out that I was at a there. And when a chandelier swings in a church, and somebody even suggested that must be God, I was there, I just didn't receive the there. And when Jesus appears on the back of a wall, and it affected my inside so much that it left me crying, I didn't realize I was at a there. I thought I was somewhere else. But now, I've got some theirs that I never knew I had. And you've got some too. You've got some places. You've been so, so good to me. All my life you have been faithful. And yet we have things that go on in our lives where we don't think God's being very faithful at all. But yet what kept us? How did we get through it if He wasn't there? If He wasn't helping? If He wasn't protecting. Well, it doesn't seem like He protected me very well. How about just rejoicing that He protected? How about looking at those things and thinking, my goodness, all my life you've been so faithful. If I would have been a young believer in God when I ran a go-kart through a barbed wire fence, I would have thought God failed. But I look back now and I think God did a great job. I lived through it. You see, we've got those things. We've got these things in our life. We've got these places in our life. We've got things ahead of us in our life. And if we look back behind us in our life, now we know God is able. Humanly speaking, it seems impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I never, ever, ever expected to live to be 65. Until I met Jesus, then I thought maybe I would. But I cashed out at 18 when I got drafted. I was planning to die in Vietnam. Praise the Lord, I didn't. But I had great declarations. I've had 18 years in this country. I'll gladly give my life for it. What was I thinking? I'd have been a good soldier, but I probably would have been a dead one. When my brother was flying planes and they were talking about prisoners of war, I had declared, I knew Sergeant Fury from the comic books. And if my brother got captured, I'd get me together a team and I would go get him out. I was young and foolish. We got all those things, but what if I take that kind of an attitude into the kingdom of God? Hey, what do we have that's worth holding on to that if it keeps us away from God? What do we have that is so valuable if it's keeping us away from God? Sometimes it's bigger things. Sometimes it's such little insignificant things that we can't even imagine that they're a problem. Refusing to forgive somebody, anybody, if it separates us from God, let it go. Just let it go. It's only been keeping us in bondage anyway. Right? Or imaginations. You know, we can come up with imaginations, and because we got those imaginations, we think, oh God, I hope you don't ask me for something like that. I would say, don't go there. Because he might ask. On Abraham's list of things that he would do for God was never sacrifice his son. He had only one plan for that son. The stars in the sky. My own flesh and blood. Father, all of that. Everybody will remember me. And when God said, take your son and sacrifice, he was like, I'd have never imagined this. I'd have never thought of this. This was all your idea. It doesn't matter what ideas God has. If he has an idea for us, it's good for us. It will build us and shape us. All he really wants us to do is know that there is there. There is a there. There is a place. And when we know that there is that place, when we know that there is that place, that we can set our hearts and our minds to get there. Whatever it is, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. I know I'm going to heaven. But there are some places that I'm going to go between now and then. You all have some places that you're going to be at between now and then. And you all have in those places between now and then where there are people's lives who are going to be radically, drastically changed because you put your hope in God. We got to know that's there, see? Because then if we know that's there, then we'll be looking for it. And if we're looking for it when it comes up, we'll recognize it. We will have the witness of the Spirit. For this reason, this is one of those. I'm ready for it. I didn't see it coming, but I'm ready for it. Because with man, humanly, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Part of getting there, getting to wherever it is established in our hearts, God will come through. So, I'll pray for Nancy Pelosi. Interestingly enough, it took God a long time to get me to pray for our former president with any sincerity or depth of heart. But why not? It's God's. It's God's. For goodness sakes, He saved me. I don't know how much time I've spent trying to figure out how He did it or why He did it, but I've spent some time doing that. And I can come up with some reasons, but the reasons I could come up with might not even be the reason. Because the real reason is He loves us. That's all He wanted, was us. That's liberating. See, some people get caught up, but what does God want from me? He doesn't want anything from me. He just wants you. You know, we live in a society, or at least in a small town's mentality, that, you know, if somebody invites you to something, your first thing is, what can I bring? And if somebody says, no, don't bring anything, we just want you. Oh, I've got to bring something. Really, you don't have to. We just want you there. And that's how God is with us. I just want you. We didn't have anything to bring to the kingdom except ourselves. We didn't get saved because we were wonderful. Because God was thinking, oh, if I can just get that one, they will be good for my kingdom. No, all He ever wanted was us. Because when He has us and we trust Him, we'll be good for the kingdom. And so we all have been there. We all have filled those spots. We all have experienced those spots. Sometimes we have done those things and we didn't even know that we did those things. When somebody comes and says, I can't tell you how much that meant to me, and you can't remember what it was that you did or what you said or how could it mean anything to you. It wasn't you anyway, it was God. It's all God. It's all God, and God's all we want. Amen? Getting there is a process. But every moment that we spend there is so special. So special. And it's good for us to bring to our own remembrance those moments. Because those are the moments that we realize we didn't have anything to do with them. I never would have done that. I never would have thought that. I never would have said that. It was God. All my life You've been so faithful. All my life You've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Lord, we're getting there. We're determined to get there. So help us, Lord, to see when we are there. Help us to be encouraged by where we've been, because once we were there, and wherever that was, it'll help somebody else. But more than anything, Lord, we're thankful. So thankful that in Your generosity and Your great love for us, we are where we are in the kingdom of God. blessing and glory and power and honor be unto you forever and ever. Oh, glory, glory, glory to God. Amen.